My reach is global, my tower secure. A Critical Role Story, written by Sabine Legrand and read by Calicuria. This story is rated for general audiences, contains the pairing Sean Gilmore Jamon Saward, and has been tagged No Archive Warning Supply. And one day, Sean returns to Marquette. It is not permanent. It's not even a long stay. But now that it's been confirmed that his teleportation circle still exists, it's nothing to appear there again, back in seconds. He would have genuinely been saddened if it had been destroyed. He made it himself, casting the spell every single day, the time shortened by fine, very expensive materials, but still taking a full 6 months. Every time he cast it, he thought about leaving. Somehow it hadn't struck him that it was a thing for coming back. Coming home feels like slipping on an old robe. It seems, at first, familiar, even comforting. His parents are still alive and overjoyed to see him. They hug his neck and make him copious amounts of food and listen raptly to his stories. He hears his mother bragging about him as she hangs his clothes to dry in the sun, the neighbor on the other side of it sounding suitably impressed. But it takes little time to remember why robes are to be replaced. It's because you outgrow them. They become less and less comfortable over time. The people here are strangers now, but they were strangers even then. Somehow, after everything, he still cares for his parents. But that's as far as it goes. That's as far as it ever went. Every interaction seems to chafe and pull. All these people who think he owes them something, even if that's as small as news of his shops. It is exhausting. Sean has been in town for a few days before the messenger comes. If he was hoping to maintain any sense of privacy, this blows it. He could only remember once or twice something like this happening. A summons not to be taken lightly. It certainly didn't happen to him, and he would have gossiped just as wildly as he knows people are at just seeing the letter. It's not addressed in the flowing script of Marquesian, doesn't spell the familiar but distant characters of Gedmore. Instead, it reads in the blocky lettering of the common tongue, Sean Gilmore. One thing Sean is definitely, absolutely not going to do is ride all the way from Shondal to Anquerel. The reason he looks as good as he does is that he got out of the habit of letting himself be sandblasted every thrice damn day. His magic got him out of the desert, and he's not going to stop using it just because he came back. He says goodbye to his parents, speaks a few words, and then he's standing at the base of Jamon Saord's towering palace. The guards start to unsheathe their weapons, but Sean doesn't let himself look frightened.
I would have thought my reputation preceded me, he says, opening his hands.
One of the guards, looking more official than the others, signals for them to hold. Sean Gilmore?
The very same,
he says, with a winning smile. Be pleased, she says, and the other guards go back to their resting states. You are expected. It's a dance of attendants and major domos and probably minor domos as well, but Sean is led up and up, through levels of the tower, finally arriving at the top. The room provides a stunning view of Anquerel, and Sean dares to step closer and look over the edge.
Vertiginous,
a voice says from behind him.
That's one word for it,
Sean says, turning to see the doors closing behind Jamon. They look exactly as Sean remembers, though for the briefest second, he swears he sees the form of Devosa instead.
It's good to see you in happier times.
Likewise, Jamon says. They are dressed simply, their feet bare on the floor. Sean knows it's pure calculation, but it suits them. We never did get enough time to talk.
We were definitely not in happier times,
Sean says. Jamon seats himself in the larger of the two chairs that break up the wide, empty room, lounging on it in an easy kind of way.
Sean takes the other one. He doesn't try to look relaxed, because he'll lose that game. That doesn't mean he feels ill at ease, though. For the first time since he got back to Marquette, he feels like he can breathe easily. "Will you drink with me?" Shimon says, hand hovering over the pitcher of wine that sits on the low table near the chairs.
"How could I refuse?"
Sean says, and Shimon fills two glasses, handing one to him. "One such as myself does not deal in never," they say. "But I did not expect to see you again."
"Things were very different when we met," Sean says. "You should know that all that fighting is not exactly my forte."
"A lover, then," Shimon says. He laughs.
"To your health and long life,"
he says, clinking his glass against Shimon's. There's a brief pause as they both sip their wine. It is, of course, exquisite. "I assumed you had adopted Tal'Dorei entirely," Shimon says, lowering their glass, and Sean thinks of his name on the envelope. "Why have you returned now?" Sean sighs. Somehow he feels unable to lie to them. Whether it's magical means or just presence, it really doesn't matter.
"In the end, I couldn't let my parents die without seeing me again,"
he says. He does a flourish with one arm, indicating the room and the city in general.
"I love what you've done with the place, but Marquette will never be my home. Not even Aunt Garelle."
Shimon chuckles, a noise Sean thought he'd never hear, but one that sounds so natural now that he has. "Aunt Garelle is not my home," they say. "It is my lair. I made it from a scrap of desert and my will. I hoard citizens, money, the scent of fine spices and oils. I do far more than live here." They lean forward. "I own it outright." Sean thinks of his holdings. Iman to Kaimal to Westron to Whitestone. The only reason he's not in Craghammer or Singorn is because he's not a dwarf or an elf, respectively. With what he's been through, each copper he takes is rightfully his, bought in wars with dragons and gods in a desert hamlet where his mother sewed him hoods to hide his forehead.
"Now that sounds much more familiar,"
Sean says with a smile. And he and Shimon do talk. There's much to discuss. Shimon has, unsurprisingly, heard some details of new experimental magical items that Sean is working on. They have insights on what to change, what to explore next, and Sean starts to wish he'd brought something to write on. The conversation changes, grows, news from Tal'Dorei and goings-on in Marquette. It is somewhere around this time that Sean realizes that the wine is refilling itself, but that just seems like good planning. It makes the conversation easier. Sean has never been opposed to the kind of kinship that comes when one's deep in their cups. "What do you want most, Rune Child?" Shimon says, and on their lips the term sounds fond, playful, nothing like the threat it always was before he left.
"That's quite the question, Devosa,"
Sean returns. "And yet I wait for an answer anyway," they say.
"An abundance,"
he says. "Of what?" Jamon asks.
"Coin,"
Sean says.
"Happiness. Friendship."
He tips his glass to them.
"Good wine. The finer things."
They sigh. "And yet I wait for an answer still."
"That was a genuine answer,"
he says. "It wasn't," Jamon says. Which is probably true. Sean considers it more deeply, running a finger around the rim of his glass.
"I want to be comfortable,"
Sean says. "And are you?" they ask.
"In Shandal, of course not,"
he says.
"With you, I actually think I am.
He said it without being sure how Jamon was going to react, but they leaned forward, pressing two fingers gently in the center of his forehead. He feels the prickle of energy that tells him his rune is visible, but for once, that doesn't seem like a problem.
I see you, Sean Gilmore, Jamon says, lifting their fingers.
And what do you see?
Sean asks, not even sure if he can handle the answer. I see a man who wants for nothing and yet yearns, they say. I see a man who pretends to be driven by coin and yet fights for what is righteous no matter the cost.
Is that all?
He says, though he feels it in his chest, the pang of being cut open but the lightness of being understood. I see that you are about to kiss me, they say, sounding amused.
Do you see your reaction?
He asks, though he's already moving forward. Let's find out together, they say, and Sean closes the distance between them. And Sean will return to Tal'Dorei, his home. He will pick his life back up and thrive in it. He will not miss Marquette, not in the slightest, and nothing about seeing it again will entice him to visit. He has done what he needed to do, cleansed his system of it. He has discharged his responsibilities to Shandal and everyone in it. Not that he owed some great list of things to anyone there. But if he sends a letter or two to Aunt Garal, that's his own business. The end. Thanks for listening.